I'm so excited today. We have baby dedication service. And we've got families here from all over the world, and we're very grateful for that. So we're going to be very sensitive. And there's cohorts here in the room, and we're just going to be very, very sensitive to people that are guests today. So we're so thankful that you've come today. And it's going to be just, I'm just going to speak for a few minutes. Yeah. No, honest. I'm only going to speak for a few minutes, and then for you generous, beautiful, gracious people that have been so patient with your children, then we're going to come up and we're going to pray for them, and we're going to dedicate them publicly to Jesus today. Now, the importance of ceremony, this is how we're going to start today. So if you can just sort of focus in, and this is going to be way cool. Now, I know with those with little kids, they're ooing and gooing, and you're just enamored by the kids, and you're not listening. So I got to be super, super animated in the midst of this, but it's going to be good. Terry Bone, who was here just a matter of a few weeks ago, used to say to us all the time that this generation specifically has lost the power of ceremony. Oh, to us. May we never lose the power of ceremony. And we're going to learn lots about that today. And I guess there's probably some practical reasons why we've lost the ability of ceremony. And for me, I think it leaned or waned way, way back when I was 11 years old. So here's my story. 11 years old, which was 27 years ago. Be nice. Gosh, I don't even want to think how many years ago it is. Gosh. Anyway, I was going to Ashbury College in Ottawa, Ontario, which is an elite private school for the type. And I was going there, and everyone would drop their kids off with BMWs and Mercedeses and Bentleys, and we'd come in our old Oldsmobile. Hallelujah. No, we had to. Anyway, it was convocation service at the end of the year. I'm 11 years old, and the convocation speaker was as dry as dust. Oh, it was painful. So an hour and a half in 100-degree weather, and that's 100 degrees Celsius, by the way, people. We're talking about Ontario here, and it's wet, and it's muggy, and it's hot, and we're in the sunshine and happiness. It's 100 degrees, and he's talking about the importance of this and that, and he's carrying on with all of these important things in terms of, for an hour and a half. That's probably why I lost my joy for ceremony. But let me tell you something. Few things have redeemed it since. One, speaking of convocation service, was the day that we graduated from Bible college, received my degree, and 500 students are singing the Hallelujah Chorus. Did you hear me? 500 students singing the Glory of God Hallelujah Chorus. 4,000 people in the auditorium, and I could say that redeemed ceremony for us. Powerful presence of God. I was so burdened for my grandmother all that day, and I didn't know why. She was there, and she was so proud to see her grandson graduate from Bible college. On her way home the next day, she died. These are important times. Sometimes ceremonies are really important. Thank you, Lord. Ceremony can be the momentary celebration about honor, affirmation, and the acknowledgments of things accomplished. I've shared this many, many times in high school with a grade 6 reading and writing capacity. With Jesus' help and a lot of people helping me write papers, I graduated with my degree after 4 years of Bible college. To God be the glory. But then they can be the precedent, and this is what we're talking about today, just for a couple of minutes, so bear with me. Then ceremonies can be the precedent of life going forward. That's huge. That's huge. And this is very, very understood by the secular world, and it is what we're going to be talking about today. Now, in the secular world, you see this, and they like their pomp and their pageantry as much as anybody. Now, with acting, with music, with sports award ceremonies, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Now, granted, they can be one-off lifetime achievement awards from some athlete that's retiring and walking off into the sunset. But more times than not, it's the precedent. Got to bring that one back because that's the definition. More times than not, it's about the precedent that it creates. And that's what we're talking about today. Now, watch the definition of precedent. Learned this week as I was preparing this message. It's an earlier event or action that is regarded as an example or guide to be considered in subsequent circumstances. In other words, it's the example or guide going forward. Very, very important. So, if you have an award for most valuable player in sports, say, yes, the ceremony is about acknowledging the past, but if they continue to play, and oftentimes they do, it sets the bar for their life going forward, right? You win an award, you win most valuable player, and then every subsequent year, there's just that sense of, all right, this is who you are. You are a very good player. Now, and they go back to the field in a matter of a few weeks or months. Now, this is the message today. Don't miss this. Ceremony is often the event acknowledging what is important, but it's also what will be important. And that arrows us into today. I'm going to say it again. Ceremony often is the event acknowledging what is important. And you people over there, I think you're all over there, you beautiful people with kids, this ceremony is way cool and way important today, but it also is about the precedent of what will continue to be important, and that is the whole message today. Now, this is kind of cool. Ceremony, now from a biblical perspective. First, we've got the Jewish tradition. Jewish tradition, the Jews all through history have loved ceremony. Very, very important. And the reason the Jews have liked ceremony is because God likes ceremony. Now, the parable of the lost son, you know, the parable, right? The parable of the lost son is huge. In fact, all of my proteges, I've been making them read that and reread that and reread that because of the significance of the passage. Now, it's a story, yes, but you have to understand something. That is actually what happened in Jewish tradition. You're going to have to keep moving, though. There we go. So get the sermon notes there, and then just follow along with me. No, we're right there at signet ring and sandals. Not socks and sandals. We're talking signet ring and sandals. Now, if you've read Luke 15, you will see that that is the ceremony when the lost son comes back. And that oftentimes happened in real life. Now, it's the ceremony of the father giving the son the signet ring and sandals. And here's the whole message today. It's not for him to go back to an empty, rebellious life, but to celebrate the new family life going forward. It's to celebrate honor. It's to celebrate respect. And often it's at that time where it's the acknowledgement of the son's emerging predominance as a leader. Now, a couple of more, and you already saw it. There we are, bar mitzvah. Jewish tradition of bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah for ladies. Oh, they could party. Oh, the Jews can party. But it's not just about the party. It's all about the transition from childhood, the celebration that they are now leaving childhood, they're leaving adolescence, and they're going to go into adulthood, creating the precedent. Now, here's an interesting one that transcends, and that's there, transcends the Old Testament into the New Testament, and that's weddings. Oh, who does not like a wedding? The beautiful bride coming down and the groom staring in awe. And I did a wedding here a few weeks ago, and we're all a basket case. We're all crying. It was wonderful. The vows, I shouldn't even share this. The vows were 4.5 minutes long each. And they're bawling through the whole thing. I'm bawling through the whole thing. But the ceremony is incredible. Of course, I cried them all opening, so that's easy. Now, go to the next one. New Testament ceremonies, they're called church ordinances. And they're important to us as followers of Christ because they're important to Jesus. And I'm going to say that one more time. Church ordinances, celebrations are important to us because they're important to Jesus. If you get nothing else today, I want you to get that takeaway. What's important to Jesus is important to us. Somebody say amen. What's important to Jesus is important to us. Now, the precedent launches us into the pattern to come. Now, two examples, and then we're going to get, believe it or not, not a word of a lie, two more examples, and then we're going right into the baby dedication service. And that group over there said, amen. Okay, good answer. All right, the wedding ceremony. Now, it's not a meaningless ceremony. It's not just pomp and pageantry. It's not just the lights. It's not just the gowns. It's not just the beautiful dresses. It's not just the room set up. But it's not so that you can go back to singleness. It's to celebrate the launch of two becoming one. Listen to me. Two becomes one. That's what the Bible says. And it is my prayer. It's God's desire that every groom and bride that get married learn what it is to become one. Two souls united in one. We had a situation back about, I guess it was back when we were in Ontario. Got to see my sister, which I was thrilled to see. I hadn't seen her in about 15 years. And we're having dinner with her and her husband and their kids. And they're just enamored by us. It's beautiful, especially the husband. And he says, "Wow, that's so sweet. You finish each other's sentences." And church, listen to me. After 34 glorious years of marriage, of the challenge and the work and the lots of grace from God to blend us together as one, it takes a long time for two to become one. Oh God, does it take a long time for... It takes a long time for two to become one. But as two become one, it's a game changer. Come on, couples, start to cuddle. Just start to cuddle right now. Game changer, game changer. That's the power, the precedent of wedding. It means a glorious marriage going forward. There's tough times. Tough times. But with Jesus Christ's strength. But with Jesus Christ's strength. Believer's baptism, when you're fully submerged in water, as a believer, you've chosen Jesus as your Savior and King. That's why we have the ceremony of water baptism. Now listen to me, church. It's not a magic formula keeping me saved. It's not a magic formula keeping me saved. I've shared this story before, but I remember about 25, 27 years ago, this young person hounded me for 3 months. She wanted to get baptized. So finally, we set up the service. We had about 6 or 7 people get baptized. I never saw her again. Because somehow, there was this thought that you get that out of the way, and then you go back to normal. 10,000 times no. It's a new normal. And God is now taking you on this journey of being with Jesus and being with his followers. Somebody say amen. The next one is communion. Something that we have just instituted again. Thank God. We've got our new high-tech little containers. You need a master's degree to open them necessarily. But the beautiful thing is that now we got communion back. A church ordinance that's very important. It's a ceremony of remembrance. We don't do it and then go back to normal. No. In the same way, it's about a personal reflection every time you do it. That's what Jesus said. Every time you do it, a personal reflection. It's doing inventory of your life so that you can stay on course with Jesus.
Wow, I didn't know communion was that important. I just thought I was sucking on some juice and eating a dry old cracker.
Well, it's that, but it's also about inventory and staying on course with Jesus. And now, next slide. Today, we celebrate another church ordinance. Next slide. Of baby dedications. Everybody go, ah. Even more. Ah. So good. I've been asked for almost 30 years in ministry, you know, such confusion about baby dedications. Do you do christening? Do you do baby baptism? Or do you do infant baptism? And there's so much confusion about it. But the beautiful thing is that no, we do baby dedication. And I'll tell you why we do baby dedications. Because the Bible says do baby dedications. It's so easy. We do what the Bible says. Again, we're not lost by whims or traditions. We are taking hold of what the Bible says. Now, baby, listen, everyone in the room, listen. Everyone over here in this area, listen, it's important. It's not a one-off. So to get out of the way like some lucky charm to ward off evil to make sure your kids go to heaven, no. They're going to have to choose Jesus for themselves. And that's what's going to be in our charge today. They're going to have to choose Jesus for themselves. But today is first the ceremony acknowledging Christ's supremacy over our families. And then this service, this very service, is a vehicle holding parents accountable and the church accountable to this awesome and vital responsibility of bringing up children the right way. And it's a daunting task, bringing up children the right way. It's a daunting task, bringing up children the right way. That's my Diefenbaker imitation. And 90% of the people in this room don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Now, here's the good news. Aren't you glad that Jesus gives us grace and strength in the midst of daunting tasks? We can do it because of Jesus. Oh, somebody say amen. We can do it because of Jesus. It's a ceremony and a precedent, a pattern of what's going to go on going forward. Hold on, just wait for me. Wait for it. We're not there yet. This is how we do it. Baby dedication with my child. It's a celebration of this is how we do it. My child, I will continue to teach Christ to you and I will live Christ before you. That's today. My child, my beautiful gift. I will teach Christ to you and I will live Christ before you. daunting, but thank God for the power of Jesus. A little bit of teaching, and then we're going to have the charge, so bear with me. We bring up our children regularly attending church, being part of the family of believers, investing in people's lives. It's having our children see us do it, and then in turn, they will want to do it because it's a good thing with us. Now, I know we're in the midst of COVID, and it's changed all the rules. But you know what? I'm not saying we're going to go back to normal. There's a new normal. But you know what? Someday, somebody, say amen, we're all going to be able to come back together. Oh, somebody say amen.
Amen. And amen.
We bring our children up in the family and the joy of communion together with the believers. We teach them the way they should go. We teach them the way they should go. Church, it's not oppressive or smothering. It's love. Loving our children is teaching them right from wrong, instilling truth. Yes, kids will decide for themselves. And if you're a parent with teenagers, everyone said that's true. They're going to decide for themselves, but oh, if we as parents make Christ advantageous and desirable, then there's a good chance that they will want Jesus as well. Teach them the way they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. There are rules, but they're fair. And they're explained. Come on. There are rules. Got to have rules. But they're fair and they're explained. And if our children see us reliable and steadfast, there's a good chance they won't balk at it. Now, children still rebel. And every parent said, yep. Children still rebel, but there's a higher chance that if we put these principles in place, they will live godly lives. Come on. It's good news. It's good news. And now, the dedication service. Like all ordinances, baby dedications are biblical. And if you look first to Samuel, it doesn't say there, but it's 1 Samuel 1, 22 to 28. Samuel was dedicated when they brought Samuel to Eli. And the second one, there we go. Give it up for the booth. Aren't they fantastic? That was lame, church. I'm not going to lie to you. That was lame. Anyway, they're doing a great job. Second one is Jesus created the precedent, believe it or not, of being dedicated because he himself was dedicated. And we read that in Luke 2, 22 to 32. And here's what I said before, and I'm going to say it again. This is the precedent. Why do something? Because Jesus did it. Isn't that easy? Why do something? Because Jesus did it. It's the great lesson in our lives. Why do we do baby dedication? Because Jesus did it. Communion, giving thanks for our food, water baptism, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out devils, setting the captives free, honoring and submission. Why do we do those things? Because Jesus did it. And now our scripture for the day. I feel like it's on Sesame Street where we're talking about the letter of the day, but this is the scripture of the day. As an adult, Jesus put great weight on children, loving children, in a culture where they dismissed children. And I was the tail end of the generation of children should be seen, not heard. Does anyone else in the room remember children should be seen, not heard? There's a few people, yeah, we're just the tail end. And now we celebrate that children are seen and heard and really heard. So, and really, really heard. But that's okay. That's okay. The pendulums of life are good. But you know what? Jesus was counterculture when he blessed children in the midst of a culture that dismissed them. And we go to the next scripture, and this is what we are reading today. Go to that scripture now. There we go. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. You got to love those disciples, but the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, guys, swiften up. Give your head a shake. That's actually what it says literally in the Greek. Give your head a shake. Let the little children come to me. Don't you dare hinder the kids to coming to me. Worship team, come on back. Don't hinder the children from coming to me. You know why? Because this is the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's all about. We love our children. They're the promise. They're the heritage. They're the richness of our lives. Oh, these children, these beautiful children. Wearing their sound earmuff things. It's so cool. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's have the families come on up now. We're going to do the charge. Just play softly as we go through the charge. We'll have Levi over here. Let me get the stand here. And maybe Addison over here. And the kid, family and parents can maybe come too, I guess, if they have to. Lots of separation to be faithful and to be gracious. Oh, come on, this is so exciting. Hallelujah. We're doing it together. Come on, everybody. Everybody. Okay, families, come on up here. No, you're not going to be left alone. They're cohorts. Come on up, family. Keep your distance. You like your families, don't you? Or, yeah? Iffy? I need you. How are we going to do this? We need to do this. Yeah, come on over. Yeah, absolutely. Get Finley over here. As comfortable as you are with distance, and if I can have the team come, and we're going to do the charge together.
So good.
So good. Thank you all for coming. Look at this. Look at them. Look at them. Isn't this beautiful, church? Come on. Yeah, give it up for them. This is what it's all about. This is the kingdom of God. And you know your assignments here. So, actually, I'm going to just do this, and I'm going to go this way. My back is going to be to the camera, but you know what? That's okay, because you get to see. Everyone's smiling the camera. Everyone's smiling the camera. It's not just ceremony. It's precedence. It's what we do going forward. So good. Church, would you stand with me? We first deal with you guys. We first deal with you. That's right. Remember I said it was about the accountability church, first church, and then with us. So listen to me, church. I will charge you today, and at the very end answer, we will. At the very end. Church, body of Christ, Emerge family, will you do all that you can to provide a place of worship and instruction for these beautiful children? Will you pray for these parents? Oh, please, pray for these parents. Oh, pray for them. so that their children will accept Jesus in their own lives and that they will want to follow Christ and they will want to have their own believer's baptism? Will you all covenant together to set an example and an atmosphere here at Emerge Church that inspires them to follow Jesus instead of that yucky way of the world? Those of you who are willing to do this, body of Christ, answer, we will. Hallelujah. Okay, now it's your turn. Praise the name of Jesus. Where are we here? Yeah, come on over in here. Come on over with your family. But with prayers, come on over with your family. Get over cuddly. Well, keep distance, but be with them. We're going to do this charge together. Parents, in the sight of God, focus. In the sight of God and the presence of these witnesses today, parents, do you solemnly undertake to bring up your children in the fear of the and the admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to seek to lead them early in their lives to accept Jesus as their Savior, their friend, and their King? And finally, do you promise, as far as it is able of you, to be an example and a godly, consistent witness to their lives? Answer, we do. Amen. Amen. Okay, if you guys could come and if you could just declare those words to them and if you could pray over them. And congregation, we're going to do something special right now. And if we can put in that song, The Blessing, and let's sing it together. Let's sing it together. Sing it with us, church. Sing it with us, church. Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing today, Lord. Let's worship the Lord together. Our children. Children. Come on. Oh, we love them, Lord. We love them, Lord. And your children. He is for you. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Church, thank you. Thank you, church. We've already declared the blessing over these families and over us today. So this is our formal dismissal. This is our benediction. Families, thank you. Tammy, would you come? And would you pray for these beautiful families now? And that concludes our service.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just like we just sang, may your presence be upon us. May you be in our coming and our going. In our weeping and rejoicing, may you be with us. May your face shine upon us. And Lord, may you bring peace to each family represented here. Not only the immediate family, but the extended family as well. Grandparents and maybe great-grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and sisters and brothers. And Jesus, we pray that your blessing would be upon each one represented here today. Jesus, we pray your blessing and your peace would be upon this church family today as each one is represented here. Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would give us wisdom, you would give each of us insight in how to teach and just raise up these children before you. May we do it well. Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for each one that is here today. We pray, God, that your peace would rest upon the families, the children. Jesus, that you would have it, that they would follow you from a young age. That, Lord, your purposes and your plans would not be thwarted. But, Jesus, that you would have your way in each of these children's lives that are represented today. Jesus, have your way. We ask that you bless the rest of this day. We ask that you bless each family that is here today. We pray your protection on each family, that no harm would come to their household. No harm would come to their household. But Jesus, that health and wellness would overshadow. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Amen. 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 And amen.